Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So why are you here tonight? I got a reason for living right. Amen. Somebody remembered. Isn't it great to be here? Praising the Lord, hearing all these words about praise. And I spent 2 hours before church tuning on your piano over there. And I really was running a race with the clock because I don't know if you know much about piano tuning, but even if it's almost in tune, when you start to tune one, you have to get it out of tune in order to get it in tune, because it goes out of tune as you tune it. And so it's easy, a two-hour job. But at least it's easier to get that in tune than it is some people. Amen. Amen. It's good to be here. You're standing like you're at attention tonight. Amen. We're an army, aren't we? And I won't hold you long, I don't think. I just want to say a few things. I want to go to the book of John. Amen. You may be seated. The book of John. Amen. The Gospel according to John. Actually, it's the Gospel according to Jesus, written by John. But that's the way it's printed in our Bibles. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I'm at the first chapter of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That is so beautiful to me. I just love that scripture. Amen. It just reminds me of so many things that I have grown up hearing about. I thank God for our heritage. Amen. Those of us who have been in the truth for a while, we have a lot to be thankful for. A scripture like I just read, we have so many thoughts that can come to us about the Word of God, the light that shines in the darkness. And the darkness just cannot comprehend this light. Amen. Amen. I was sitting at our church in my recliner, because I stay at the church, and my recliner is my kitchen table, my dining room, my bed, and counseling center, office, general headquarters of the Wren Rutledge Ministries International. It's just an old recliner. It's all I got. If anybody ever wants to sue me, they get a recliner. That's all they get. Amen. But I am a rich man in Jesus Christ. I was sitting there in my recliner, and I heard this sound. Boom, 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 oh! We got a long flight of stairs in the front of our church. And Brother John Atkinson's a little heavier than I am. And he had just come down those stairs rather quickly. Amen. So I opened the door to the stairway and I looked. And here's a man lying on the floor. I said, "Are you all right?" He said, "Yeah, I'm okay." It was dark. There was a light switch at the top of the stairs where he came in. I said, "What happened?" "Well, I missed the steps." He said, "I thought I was at the ground level, and I took another step and went down." I said, "Why didn't you turn the light on?" He said, "I will next time." You know, when you're walking in the dark, things can happen to you. You can imagine a lot of things. You can think that you're going the right way, that the next step you take is a good step. But once you lose control, when you're in the dark, you don't know what to grab a hold of. You don't know how to recover yourself sometimes. You're just out of control. And that's what happened to my friend, Brother John Atkinson. He's a little stove up now because he landed on his shoulder. And my heart went out to him, but that wasn't the first time it happened. I remember one morning when he was a new convert, just come into the church, and we'd just brought him to God. And God was doing a work on him, trying to get him started. So he didn't have any place to go, and I let him move in with me. I had a house that I rented. In fact, I rented it for me, but ended up with 9 men living in it. Didn't have room for me, and I moved out. Because all these people from the streets kept coming to God, and they didn't have jobs, and they didn't have a home. And so I moved out, and then they all had to find a place to go because they couldn't afford to stay there. But Brother John was one of those men who came and stayed in our house. And I remember one morning he got up real early. We had an upstairs there, and I was sitting in my recliner at the foot of the stairs. And I heard this boom, 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 you know, slowly walking across the floor. And that morning I heard boom, 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 oh. And I slowly turned around and there was the same man, Brother John, lying at the foot of the stairs. I said, "Are you all right?" I think so. I said, "Do you always come downstairs like that?" He didn't think it was funny. And that morning, the light was shining. The sun was shining. But he just was still walking in the dark because he just got up. And some people, when they get up, it doesn't matter if the sun's shining or not. they're just not with it yet. And Brother John's one of those. You know, it's like, no. Takes a while to get some of us started. Amen. Spiritually speaking, tonight, this whole world was in the dark when Jesus appeared on the scene. And Jesus proclaimed to people all around him, "I am the light. I am the light. I am the light of the world." And those that wrote about him later wrote, "He was the light, and the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness couldn't comprehend the light." Amen. And everywhere he went, there was something that was happening that was making a difference to people who wandered in darkness. I know what it is to be in a really dark place, and I've talked about it here before, how I got lost in a cave. Well, you can't see anything. It's just so dark. Physically speaking, it was so dark you could almost feel the dark. And when the flashlight was no longer working, and this little group of boys and myself had gone cave exploring. We were way back in these caverns and had gone through all these passageways, and we took a roll of kite string, and we were going to use that to work our way out if something happened to the flashlight. But we got excited about our discoveries and forgot about the string, and then the flashlight was dropped, and we were way back there in the dark. And it is dark when you're down in the ground and you've gone through several tunnels, crawled through some because it was hard to squeeze through. It's dark. And I remember so well trying to get out of there. First of all, you don't know what direction to go, because any direction you go, you run into things. And you don't know what it is you're running into. It's just a mess. And every way you feel, it seems like something's wrong. My life was like that when Jesus appeared on the scene of my life. Darkness was on the face of the deep. I was raised in a preacher's home, but I didn't know God. I went to church and walked where the light was shining, but I was still walking in the dark. Amen. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know what it is to walk in the dark and yet be near the light? Hallelujah. And I'll never forget that wonderful feeling that I had when the one that had dropped the flashlight found it again and got it to shining. Our only hope was that light to get out of that cave. And in my life and in our lives, our only hope to be able to find our direction is to let Jesus shine. Everybody say, let Jesus shine. Let Jesus shine. Now, He will shine, and He is shining. But you know, the sun shines, but if you don't allow it to shine on you, if you find yourself hidden from the sun, if you're away from the sun, if there's something blocking the sun, it may not shine on you. If Jesus is the light of the world, I just want to get out here and let Him shine on me tonight. Hallelujah. And He is the light of the world. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. I was talking to the pastor for church tonight about a few times, a few places here where I have felt this darkness. One place was at the Port Authority in New York. I went over there one day, just felt like going around and talking to people. I never had really spent any time there. And I suppose it's not a good place just to go hang out, but that's where I felt to go that day. I saw a few people get robbed while I was there. I saw some things that were not pleasing, but I was in prayer, and God led me to somebody. Well, I was talking to that individual in the midst of all that darkness. Started talking about the things of God. Tears came in that individual's eyes. As we stood there talking about Jesus, somebody else joined in the conversation. And I spent a whole day. I don't know where it all led to. It's the only time I've ever done that in my life. That was 15 years ago. But I spent a whole day just talking to people about Jesus. It was as if the light shined for one, and somebody else was drawn to the light. All day long at Port Authority, I had that experience. Amen. But that's really the way it works. If you let the light shine on you, and then you let it shine from you, somebody else may find the light. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I know I'm deep tonight. I'm so deep. I'm talking about simple things. Simple things. We take it for granted. We walk in the house, we turn on the light switch. That light switch does not make that light shine. There are a lot of things that have gone on to cause that light to shine. It's just been made convenient and easy for us. Well, so has living for God. You don't know what all has gone on to cause you to be able to sit on these pews tonight. Praise God. You don't know the price that's been paid. Yes, Jesus was crucified, but there have been some people used mightily of God as prayer warriors. as people with a burden, as people trying to find answers to help other folks who have paid a price for you to be here. And all you got to do is walk through those doors and find yourself singing. Find yourself saying, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's so easy to turn the light on here because Jesus is here. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. But there was a time. There was a time when this church congregation was not here. There was a time when this ministry was not here. There was a time when you did not know God. Is there anybody here that was born saved? How many of you can say, I do remember a time when I was wandering in darkness? Can you raise your hand? Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, and some of those memories, the way it felt, we don't like to linger on it, but it was real. It happened. It happened. But when Jesus came into our lives, all those hang-ups, all those desires, and all those ways we had always been had to give in to something that was more powerful. Just a little bit of light drives out a whole lot of darkness. And you know, I've noticed that when people just start praising the Lord, it's like turning on a light switch. It's like turning on a light switch. Like turning on a flashlight in the dark when you just start praising the Lord. I remember while wandering in the darkness, living in sin, when I would get in the crowd of people praising God. If I would praise God, something would even happen to me. Even though I hadn't repented and I hadn't been living for God, something would happen to me. A good feeling would come over me. A feeling like, I want to be a part of this, would come over me. There was something happening that was starting to drive out darkness. And every time you feel like praising the Lord, who knows what can happen when you get in the light as He is in the light. I tell you what, it'll drive away gossip.
That's right.
It'll drive away strife. It'll drive away division, contention. What are you talking about there for, Brother Rutledge? It's darkness. That's right. I'm so amazed at so many people today having come to the light as Brother John got up that morning, walking with the sun shining through the windows, and he fell down the stairs as if he were walking in the dark. So many people today are going to our churches, raising those hands and shouting hallelujah and feeling good. Amen. But they are an abomination to God, according to the Word of God, because they sow discord amongst the brethren. Did you know you can't go to heaven if you sow discord amongst the brethren? Because that is darkness, and darkness does not mix with light. You can't live for God, you can't be a Christian, you can be nothing but a phony or a hypocrite if you claim to be a child of God and sow discord among the people of God. It's impossible to sow discord and have the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Come on. Hallelujah. What are you saying, Brother Rutledge? Well, I'm not attacking anybody. I'm not here to make you feel bad. I'm just here to shine a little light in your pathway. If there's anybody here that has ever been guilty of talking about your neighbor behind their back, or talking about somebody in the church to get somebody else to see your side of it, your way of it, you need to check yourself. Find out where you are. See what it is that's happening to you. You may be walking in the dark while the light is shining all around you. Thank you, Jesus. I was driving my car one night, just driving along, having a big time, going 100 miles an hour. This is years ago. If I play this on the internet, if there are any policemen out there listening, I take it all back. I was driving 100 miles an hour. I went to sleep. I remember it was 100 miles an hour, but I also faded out while going 100 miles an hour. And when I woke up, The road went that way and that way. I was at an intersection and there was no road going that way. No way to stop. I was still going 100 miles an hour. What do you do when you're going 100 miles an hour in a car and it's dark and you leave the road? You hold on whatever you got to hold on to. I mean, I held on to that steering wheel. But it was a bumpy ride. Amen. Down through the woods, trees, you know, bumps, weeds, swamps. I was hitting everything. I was never so thankful in my life to have a scratched up car and to be walking through the mud, because I didn't think I'd make it out of there alive. But I came walking from that vehicle that had crashed into those woods in the light, thanking God I'm still alive. I was stupid, but I was alive. I was crazy for driving my vehicle so fast and being so sleepy, but I was alive. Thank you, Jesus. Tonight, if there be anybody here that has had any kind of feeling like you're going real fast, and all of a sudden you're starting to realize you're about to take a wrong direction, I want to point you to the fact that there is a light that will shine in your pathway. And there is a God who will come out there and protect you when you get on that bumpy road. And He will bring you back to the righteous pathway if you just put your trust in Him. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know why I'm talking about all this tonight. I'm just talking. Amen. But evidently somebody needs to know. The light still shines in the darkness. Jesus still reaches for you, even when you're in church and you're not what you should be. Hallelujah. I know what I'm talking about. Everywhere I've been, I have seen it happen. I haven't seen it happen here. But everywhere I have been, I have seen it happen. People are seemingly on fire for God. And then you learn later, there was a couple in the church who were sowing discord. There was somebody in the church who was a busybody. There was somebody who couldn't stay off the telephone and give their opinion. And I'm not here to address anything here. I don't know anything but good here. Understand me. But I am saying to you that it is possible that sitting among you, there's somebody that's walking in their sleep, are driving too fast in the darkness and not alert and not awake and not realizing you're out of control. And why should a preacher come along and say these things? I tell you why, because God loves you. And God loves this church. And God loves these people. And God loves your enemies. And God loves those that despitefully use you. And God loves those that you don't agree with and don't agree with you. And God loves those that you might have talked about from time to time. He loves them just as much as He loves you. My grandpa used to say when a preacher talked like this, now you're going to meddling. God never sends a messenger to say anything to anybody with any other intention than to heal, to set free, to bring deliverance, to open doors, to make a pathway, to shine a light. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. See, I can talk freely over here because I'm talking about places where I've been. And I'm not necessarily talking about anything that's going on here. And when I leave, you can always say, he was talking about those places over there. And see, I haven't talked to anybody about anybody here. So I don't know anything that's going on except good things. Everybody here is super holy. There's not one problem in this church. You've never had anybody that acted up. That's all I know. I know nothing about you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So I'm free to talk tonight. I'm free to shine my light tonight. I'm free to say these things tonight because I'm not attacking anybody. Nobody here has made any mistakes since you've been going to church. Nobody here has ever talked about anybody behind their back. Nobody here has ever been guilty of trying to get somebody to see things your way and feel like they're going the wrong direction because they're associating with somebody else. It's never happened here. Or at least if it has, I don't know it. And that's good. Isn't that great? To have a perfect congregation. It's great. That's why I come over here. To get away from that mess I'm in Norwich. Because you couldn't possibly have to deal with the things I deal with. There's no way you have to deal with these things. Hallelujah. People shacking up with each other. Go to church, testify one day. Live like the devil the next. We used to have one lady say, sing a song. I go to church on Sunday and break all my vows on Monday. In fact, when I was a child, we had a songbook. And in that songbook was this song. It had almost as many verses as 99 bottles of beer on the wall. It just had a gang of verses. And the name of the song was Ain't It a Shame. Ain't It a Shame. And it was like, ain't it a shame to fish on Sunday when you got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and all day Saturday. Ain't it a shame to fish on Sunday. Ain't it a shame. And then it had a verse that said, ain't it a shame to lie on Sunday when you got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all day Saturday. Ain't it a shame to steal on Sunday? When you got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all day Saturday. We used to sing that in church. You know, a lot of people just singing our songs don't even think about the words. We just sing. Ain't it a shame to lie on Sunday? Ain't it a shame? Oh, ain't it a shame to lie on Sunday? Ain't it a shame? Woo! Ain't it a shame to lie on Sunday when you got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, woo! Friday, and all day Saturday? Ain't it a shame to lie on Sunday? Ain't it a shame? Pick them banjos and stomp them feet. Woo! Hallelujah. Good old days. Ain't it a shame? I've been down a lot of dirt roads in church. I've been in back alleys. I've seen a lot of stuff. See, I was seduced by a preacher when I was a teenager. Seduced is something you children can learn about later on. Someday, what that word means, big old word, you don't have to know a lot about it now. Just don't be around anybody that ever says that word to you or something. But I was a kid, sheltered Pentecostal brat. Didn't know anything about this mean old rotten world. I thought I was a devil because I was mean, but the stuff I did was nothing compared to what my friends were trying to teach me. They were saying the preacher's kid is the worst kid on the block, you know, the worst kid around. But I was listening in one evening when I heard my dad say to one of them, it's only because he associates with your kids. I try to tell some of these things I did in my childhood, and I've got people in our church that have little children now. They say, please don't tell it, Brother Rutledge. My children want to do everything you did when you were a child. So I have to be careful what I talk about. But I was sheltered. About the worst thing I ever did back in those days was sneak around, smoke cigarettes, and steal cars. No, I didn't really do that much. Just stole a missionary's car and drove it all over town. He didn't find out about it till I was preaching a revival one night and we happened to be in the same service. And I confessed my sins. But when I was a kid, I tried things, I did things, but I never realized what a mean, cruel world we had. As I started getting interested in God, coming to God, Things changed. Everything was good. Church was great. I wanted to be in church all the time. I wanted to be there. I wanted to be with God's people. I found myself having a favorite preacher. Now, that can be dangerous. We just need to look to Jesus and love everybody, and if somebody's a good preacher, that's wonderful. But don't put your trust in man. Put your trust in Jesus. It's not that you can't trust them, but in case one of them goes bad, you won't go bad with them. You can hang on to Jesus. That night after church, since I was just a young person trying to get an education, a freshman in college, just venturing out in life, music director part-time in this particular church where I was, I had to stay in evangelistic quarters and only had one bed, and the preacher that was my favorite preacher in the middle of the night started trying to do some things that caused me to have to get up out of that bed and run out of that place, slam the door, and hide behind trees all night. And you talk about a shattered dream. Having just really dedicated my life to God. Having just really come to the place where I really want to give all to God. Then to have somebody I really looked up to do that to me as a young man. Or try to do what he did. He didn't do anything because I didn't let him. Because I ran out of there and slammed that door and hid all night. The next day, the pastor of that church, I went to him, told him what happened. And he said, "Oh, now, Brother Rutledge, don't worry about that." Said he didn't mean any harm. A few weeks later, that pastor was in jail in Tennessee, Memphis, Tennessee, for soliciting men. He happened to solicit a detective and ended up in jail, and there's pictures in the paper. See, I was in a den of iniquity with a lot of hope in my God, trying to serve God. And I'm telling you this tonight, I guess, to let you know, I've been where it's as bad as it gets. In church. But regardless of any darkness you can think of, no matter what it is, who did what, no matter what it is, Jesus is still the light. And Jesus still makes a difference. And there came a time in my life back then that I started looking past the darkness to the light again. Thank God that I didn't get so discouraged that I lost my head and went out into the world. But if there's anything that could cause you to want to go into the world, something like that could. But what's in the world? Nothing but darkness. Nothing but darkness. I've had Sunday school teachers let me down. I've been used as a preacher's child. I'm just telling you a few little things. I've been around churches all my life. And I'm not knocking churches. I'm just telling you, all these things happen in other places. Nothing happens here. But the bottom line to it all, when I get there, and I'm almost there, is, and what I'm going to tell you again, as I always will tell you, it's all going to be okay. It's worth it. Jesus is the answer, and He will take you through the darkest trail and bring you out victorious. Do you believe that tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've had Sunday school teachers invite me over to their home to spend the day on Sunday afternoon with their children. And they prepared a meal, and all they wanted to do was find out information about my parents. I didn't know. I was just an innocent child sitting at the table answering their questions. So what do you all do, when you're just sitting around the house? I'm just a little boy. Oh, you know, and being a kid, I didn't know. I didn't have anything to hide or hold back. I just poured my heart out, told them everything we did. Not realizing that those were devils I was talking to. They were there to gain information to try to uproot the ministry. To try to hurt the pastor. It's amazing. It's amazing how many vultures and varmints and critters and demons and things of darkness enter into our celebration of praise. while we're trying to worship God and praise God. All these things are all around us. But I want to tell every devil that might be sitting on those empty pews, certainly not any of these people, that you don't have any kind of business being here. This is the place where the light shines. Hallelujah. This is the place where the light shines. Thank you, Jesus. Would you praise the Lord? Would you praise the Lord? Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Praise Him again. Are you praising Him? Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we use words like praise the Lord and hallelujah. And there's nothing wrong with saying those words. Those are a lot better than some of the words we used to say when we were not Christians. And if you just need a word to fill in, a hallelujah or a praise the Lord or thank you, Jesus, good. That's better than some of the things we used to use, right? But I believe sometimes, just now when I said, let us praise the Lord, I believe it becomes more, okay, I will, because He said do it. And it's not phony, it's not bad, but it's just not quite what it could be. You know why? Because we're human beings, and it's after 10 o'clock. And it's that Rutledge fellow again, and he's still going on our youth night. And he's just rambling up there about light and darkness, and once in a while he says something that makes us laugh. And finally, he said, let's just praise the Lord, and praise the Lord. And I thought he was going to say, now let us stand, but it didn't happen. Oh, that doesn't happen here. I got a young lady in our church over in Norwich. She says, Brother Joe Young is my favorite preacher of all the preachers that come to this church. Even beyond my pastor, I'd rather hear Brother Joe. Why? Because he don't go very long, that's why. My own mother told me, if I would cut off the last 30 minutes, I might start having more friends. And my daddy told me, when I was young in the ministry, he said, if you can't say it all in 30 minutes, you might as well fold up the book and quit trying. The very next service I went and I heard him preach, he preached an hour and a half. And I told him, I said, Daddy, after church, I said, Dad, you might as well quit trying. Let's praise the Lord. Let us praise the Lord. Let's praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You don't know how many times God has delivered you and brought you to a place where you can have this victory and this freedom. You know what? In 5 minutes' time from now, you can have more victory than you've ever had in your life. You can be an overcomer more than you've ever been an overcomer in your life. Or you can spend the next 5 minutes thinking about what you're going to do when you leave this place. Or thinking about what you were doing before you got to this place. I know it won't happen here. It hasn't happened here. Probably never would happen and never could happen. But in most places where I've been, people's minds start to wonder. Hallelujah. What are we going to eat? We had a preacher preach for us. Just keep standing. I'm almost through. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. Scared to say it, aren't you? We had a preacher preach for us. And it was his first sermon. And he preached 2 hours and 35 minutes. And I don't remember a word he said. But all I remember is people going, everybody just so, you know why we were so put out, so aggravated? Because television was new in those days, and nobody owned one. None of our people, we were all too poor. But everybody wanted to watch it. And they had a little ice cream place with a TV out there, so you could drive up and watch TV while you ate hamburgers. And it closed at 11 o'clock, and he was still preaching at 10:45. just ruined everything. Ruined everything. You know what? It would be good for us just to kind of let God remold us, reshape us, remake us. And when we read words like, in the beginning was the Word, let it be a new beginning in my life. Let the Word of God be a new beginning in my life. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Let God be in my life more than ever before. And in the beginning, the Word was with God. The Word was God. And it talks about Jesus being that light. Let the light be in me. And get to thinking about these things. I'm not saying you don't, but I've been in places where evidently people don't think about these things too much. Let's shake your hand and say, praise the Lord. And there's no praise there. You know when you can praise the Lord best? It's when you're not in church. When you're in your circumstance of darkness around you, when people are saying the things they say in the world and the mess that's going on out there and all the trash around you, everything's as bad as it gets and none of your brothers and sisters are around you, nobody knows what you're up to, and you're just in a place where it's just you there and everything else is bad. That's when you can praise the Lord the best. You don't have to raise your hands. You don't have to shout hallelujah. Just keep living for God. Hallelujah. Just live for God. Hallelujah. You'll have your chance to testify. You'll have your chance to be a witness. Your light will shine. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I was sitting at a wedding banquet, and all these people dancing and drinking their booze and stuff, and they came and brought me mine. And I said, no, thank you. And one person said, well, what's wrong with it? I just said, what's wrong with what? I just said, no, thank you. Well, you need to do what everybody's doing. You stand out like a sore thumb here. I said, just bring me a glass of water. And then a crowd gathered around and said, why aren't you participating with the rest of us? I said, I am. I just don't drink that stuff. And then Mom came up and said, how about a dance? Don't dance. I wasn't trying to put on a show. My dancing's reserved for God. I don't dance. And I saw them whispering to each other. I've seen this happen in churches. It should never happen in church like this. But I saw them get together and whisper. And they came up with this plan to try to bring me into their circles. Amen. One of them came over to me and said, just one dance. I said, okay, watch me. And I stood up and did the bunny hop right in front of them all. That wasn't what they were looking for. Messed up the whole banquet. Hallelujah. Praise God. Only dance I know. Hallelujah. Praise God. But we don't have to participate with this world. But if you want to let your light shine, just let it shine. Praise God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they just let their light shine. There came a time when everybody knew there's a real God in their life. Would you raise your hands one more time? I'm going to let you go. Let's praise the Lord. Let's praise the Lord. Let's thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I had about five thoughts, and all of them were better than the one I brought you, probably, than that, but that's the one you got. Amen. And if there's anything good in it, give glory to God. If I was just tired and made a lot of bobbling mistakes, give all that credit to me. God bless you tonight. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank God for the message and the messenger. Those that would like to come to the altar, why don't you come? Let the Lord help you. This is a great heritage that we have, to walk in the light as He is in the light.
Thank you, Jesus.
We will have fellowship one with another. Hallelujah.